Are you ready to sell more books? I'm Brian Cohen.
And I'm Claire Taylor. If you're ready to get your books into the hands of the right readers
and make some more money,
you've come to the right podcast.
And now it's time to talk tips, tricks, and news to help you sell more of your books. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sell More Book Show, episode 475. I'm Brian Cohen from Best Page Forward. Joined by Claire Taylor of FFS Media. And we don't edit here. So how are you doing, Claire?
I'm doing great, Brian. Just, you know, enjoying our time together.
Always. Very similar. Yeah, I love getting to do the show. I texted you this morning.
You did. I was on my walk and I couldn't text back and then I forgot.
Oh, no worries. I'm just waiting for replies all day long from you, Claire, leaving me hanging last week's show. No, I didn't need anything back. I was just saying how much I enjoy the show. I am glad that we get the opportunity to do it together. And so a big thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And thank you, Brian.
Sure. All right. So
that's the charisma people show up for right there. Man, they have such good chemistry. Thank you, Brian. This is not AI speaking.
Someone said we were AI, or someone said I was AI on YouTube. And I'm like, thank you. Does that mean I'm perfectly rendered? Am I in 4K?
So you're saying I'm intelligent.
Yeah, I know. I will ignore the artificial part. Claire, you've still got your classes opening up, ffs.media/classes, all your summer workshops. Is there one in particular you're the most excited for?
Well, I love doing the author alignment workshop because that's where we use the Enneagram to make your author career much more pleasant and much more in line with who you are, much less resistance when you try to accomplish the things you're trying to accomplish, and a lot of clarity on what it is you're actually trying to accomplish, because that can be extra tricky to figure out sometimes.
Yeah, that is for sure. Well, I'm excited for people to have the opportunity to look there. And hey, I'm going to give a little shout out for my little plug. I recently passed 5,000 TikTok followers, which I was very excited about. And hey, maybe it'll get banned, maybe it won't. But if you are on TikTok, I'm at Brian Helps Authors. So go find me. I am posting every ding dang day, y'all. So
that's nuts.
Yeah. I'm recording multiple things ahead of time, but I am posting every day. So, previous week's question, this is from a couple weeks back. This was when we were talking about the Ally survey. Are you surprised by the results of the Ally survey? How does it make you feel looking over the numbers? Robert Graver, my actual top TikTok fan, Robert Graver, says, quote, "It makes me feel hopeful for the future. It also makes me wonder how many lower income or zero income authors didn't take part because of their figures. In the report, just under 11% reported that they spend less than 50% of their time writing. If more part-time authors who have to work full-time jobs had filled this out, I reckon this percentage would be far higher." That's a really good point there, Robert.
Yeah, that goes back to what sort of pool are we drawing from here? And Dharma Keller said, "The questionnaire only surveyed authors who spend the majority of their working hours on their writing business. So for those of who still have a day job, which postulate might be the majority of indie authors?" Well, yeah.
Good use of postulate there, Dharma. So
I know, making me say postulate on air.
I know. Ooh, live math talk rather than just live math. So Claire, I'm interested to see, you know, as more people come in about this sort of thing. We've made fun on this show of the AAP, American Association of Publishers, for the data that they post that does not have Amazon's data in it. But, you know, if we're, as the indie community, put out a survey that also is missing a great chunk of data, you know, we have to take each with, as I like to say, a pillar of salt.
Yeah, definitely. And ultimately, what you decide to do for your career is going to be irrelevant of what the majority of people are doing. So that's important. If you don't feel like you fit that mold, that demographic, that's okay. There are a million ways forward.
Yeah, absolutely true. Absolutely true. There's no one way up the mountain. Let's go into our top story. Evil, good, or neutral? How can we use AI in our creative processes while still keeping humanity at the core of our books? That's the question Joanna Penn asks on her latest podcast. AI has been nothing if not controversial in the author community, with discussions around productivity, high volume output, and whether using AI as part of the process is cheating. Of course, there are questions and fears that we'll be losing the artistic human aspect of being an author. But instead of rejecting it, Penn suggests becoming AI curious. Quote, too many people are stuck in panic and fear or avoidance, but we need to move forward into curiosity and adaptation, as generative AI is not going back in the box. I intend to personally oversee and handcraft my books while also incorporating AI writing and creativity tools into my process, end quote. But how? By doubling down on being human. Write the books only you can write. Include personal elements that can come only from you. Create beautiful books which can rise above the digital abundance that AI alone creates. Foster relationships and community with other humans. Speak to your readers. Sell direct. Go out in public. And make sure readers connect you, the human, with your books and other works. Penn reminds us that according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, an author is both the writer of a literary work and also one that originates or creates something. Quote, the latter half of the definition works perfectly if you want to embrace AI assistance. You can use AI tools through the creative process with your ideas as the origin of the story. End quote. Claire, I had to put this one in here, because I am so intrigued by how angry a lot of people have gotten about the AI debate. And it almost makes me remember when people started self-publishing and how angry traditional published authors were about no gatekeepers. And it's this really interesting dichotomy for me. And some people are like, yeah, well, there weren't AI overlords that were going to take over. And it's like, well, that's the fear response that Joanna is mentioning. Claire, are you AI curious?
I'm definitely AI curious. I don't think that I am going to be able to stop this trend. And I tend to see new tools as opportunities to consider that can make what I am giving to my readers even better. Yeah. I don't think that turning over everything to AI would make my books better. So that is not even a thing that I am thinking about. And I don't know that I would ever think about that, because I enjoy the process of writing too much. I think that that is important for humans to be involved in that process as far as just our own development. And, you know, at this point, we still need prompters, right? The AI is not coming up with ideas itself. It still needs prompters. And that prompting comes from our personal experience. It comes from who we are. So I am not scared of AI. I think it's interesting. And I think I mentioned this in a newsletter that I sent out recently, but there just is no bulldozer to lay down in front of, right? There is nothing you can do to give yourself the illusion that this will not continue forward. So how do you want to use this tool? And yes, it's scary. Yes, it will be exploited. Yes, it will cause problems. Every new technology does. I think that it is a reflection of how human populations shake out with how they use every new tool. Some will exploit it. Some will use it for good. We've seen some really interesting advancements in the medical field already.
Yeah.
So it's just that same distribution, new tool. and I'm interested in how I can use it. I've already used it for some things, like, you know, I needed another attraction at a Ren Faire that's common. I needed it for like a clue for my book. And I had been thinking of Ren Faire stuff all day. And I was like, okay, what are the top 20 most common attractions at the Ren Faire, you know, and ChatGPT let me know. And I was like, perfect. Damn. Puppet show. Got it. It would have taken me 15 minutes to think of a puppet show. Right. And I'd used all the other ones. So I was like, great. This means that I can write more of this book in the time that I have, so I can get farther along. Right. That is the kind of thing that I think a lot of people are using it for. And I just don't see that as threatening. I think that is another useful tool in our arsenal, and you can ignore it if you don't like it. That's absolutely fine. But just ask yourself how much of your energy is going towards judging the way that other people use it, and how much is directed towards your own business and how it could be a useful tool.
Did you already have giant human chess? Did you have jousting? I remember very fondly.
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. My protagonist is a jousting angel. So.
Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful. I love a good Ren Faire. So, I absolutely think that when computers, well, let's say when typewriters came out, people who wrote by hand were probably pretty angry. When computers came out, people who used typewriters were probably pretty angry. When dictation came out, people who typed were probably pretty angry. And you have to evaluate at some point that anger. Is that anger because you really think these other people are cheating, or is it that you're afraid that the way you are doing things is going to change and it will hurt you? Because that is something we need to dive deep into. I have seen really interesting posts of people who are very, very smart talking negatively about AI. I have also seen very intelligent posts in favor of AI. And I think that we need to put our brain power into what we enjoy, and we need to put our brain power into what will help our books, our families, and ourselves as we continue to run this business. And I saw a student who was very, very upset the other day that Amazon had not counted two of her sales. She had verified, you know, that friends had purchased this. She saw the proof of purchase, and two of those sales disappeared. And I asked the question, well, could you potentially get those $4 in sales back? Yes. Could you spend $5,000 and a lot of energy to do it? And the answer is yes, there too. And so where do we want to put our energy? Where do we want to put our time? Where do we want to put our money? These are questions you need to ask yourself, because if your answers have only been because of a fear reaction, then you might be doing yourself a disservice.
And I think it's also important to just be cognizant of the language we're using. When you talk about, like, you know, people are like anti-AI, right? It's like you come off sounding like anti-government. And it's like, well, which part of AI are you? You know, is it the Parks Department you're scared of, right? Like, there's a lot of different aspects that go into this generative AI that is starting to evolve. And so if you feel like you think of AI and it's this big, you know, scary thing, maybe just look at the language you're using and break it down into components, because there's a lot of components going into this. And so just keeping it, I think it's up to each person to kind of keep tabs on, have you built up this, you know, sort of boogeyman of all of AI, or are you actually looking at the reality of it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Love that. Break scary things down into parts seems like a really smart way to handle a whole lot of things in your life. We've got some hot potatoes. Claire, how do you plan to differentiate yourself and your books from a flood of digital abundance that AI will soon be creating?
I am writing luxury human written books. That is how I will be differentiating this. When you read my books, you're going to hear my voice, which is very, you know, individual. You are going to be able to jump on Zoom calls with me, watch me talk about, you know, unimportant stuff on Instagram. There's a whole world of me that you get with it that you can't get with AI. And, you know, if things start to really get flooded, there's a chance that I'm going to raise my prices because I've become a luxury item.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I was just talking to an author about, hey, you, if you are a gift item, and he writes journals that are used as gift items, think about what the other gift websites are doing and look at what they're including, because maybe you bump that price a bunch and you include it in a pretty basket and all of that stuff. I mean, there's opportunities we don't always think about.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that a lot of what people enjoy about narratives is that they feel like they're connecting to someone else. Mm. And that's something that I just, even if the AI completely, you know, if the generative AI, ChatGPT, whatever is going to be writing these books that we're all afraid of, is going to be writing these books, just knowing that there is not a human on the other side, I think will turn off a lot of people.
I think you might be right.
All right, Brian, where would you like AI to help authors to grow their business?
So I would like AI to help authors to grow their business in how deeply they're thinking about where they put their time. I think authors see that, oh, so-and-so used this tactic, so-and-so used this tactic. I need to do that because I saw them do it and I took this class and now I'm in their course and now I have to do it. But we get down that train, we're all the way down the track, and we haven't stopped to think, well, what do I actually enjoy doing? And I think AI is really beneficial as an idea generator. We just talked earlier about Renfair attractions as ideas that could come from AI. I would love more authors to use AI to help brainstorm what is something they could do to sell their books that wouldn't feel like marketing to them, that they would just enjoy. I think that would be a really great way for authors to use the technology.
Awesome. Yes.
I'm very focused on the joy right now, Claire.
Good for you, Brian.
Joy. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Claire. Let's go into the lightning round. Pew.
Yes.
Pew. 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 Pa-choo. Pa-choo.
Bless you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. It was a lightning sneeze. So, Claire, Ingram Spark, hey, has eliminated setup and upload fees, though I did hear they increased their other fees to compensate. And Spotify has dropped its 20% distribution fee when you're ordering as part of Findaway. Will these changes help these companies to compete with Amazon?
A little bit, yes. So Ingram Spark eliminating setup fees, Spotify dropping distribution fees, all of these slight changes that we're seeing in the market are inching towards more competition with Audible, with KDP. Yes, this is what they are trying to do bit by bit to see where is that sweet spot of the least they can do, the least amount of money they can part with to get the most amount of authors using them. So I think it's smart.
Very nice. Very nice.
All right, Brian, when is it worth it for an author to spend the extra time and energy to distribute via Ingram Spark versus just KDP print?
So it becomes worth it for an author to use other sites like Ingram Spark or even other smaller printers rather than KDP print when the quality of the book really, really matters. I know some children's book authors have not been happy with the way that their book is displayed on KDP print. When you have illustrations rather than just words, that becomes even more important. Folks who are doing kind of luxury type items like these really nice journals, they are very important to have the right quality product, but also people who are wanting to get into direct sales are now looking at printers. It's funny, thinking back to the early days of Indie Author Podcasting, Joanna Penn talked about got a couple thousand books printed and now I don't know what to do with them. And that was the early days, but now people are kind of going back full circle, figuring out printers again, because now it has become more important, especially with, hey, Gen Z loves the paperbacks, right? Having that thing that they can hold is becoming more important. And for it to be higher quality, you might need to go elsewhere than KDP Print.
Yes, absolutely. Or Ingram Spark. I'm having a lot of problems with the Ingram Spark books.
There are other places.
And something you might want to consider is, can you reach someone from that business in case things do go wrong, right? That's the world. So can you reach someone to be like, hey, the pages are falling out of these books I just sent out? Anyway. Yes.
I hear you. I hear you on that. Claire, what is one thing, and I know there are many things, but what is one thing that authors tend to overthink or worry too much about?
Oh my goodness.
So many, okay. Right?
Okay, so many. But I will say the one thing that authors tend to overthink or worry too much about is what other people are doing. It's good to look at the market, but that doesn't mean that the roadmap for you step by step already exists. You need to be thinking through what you like to do, what your skills are. There's so much. And what someone else is doing in their business and their success, it has nothing to do with you. So if you feel like you're on a good path, right? You're like, oh, this is making so much sense. I've gotten rid of a lot of resistance. I'm on my way. And then you go look at someone else, you tend to be like, oh, but they're doing this other thing. And then the worry comes in. Should I be doing that? What should I be doing? So yeah, just don't worry so much about what other people are doing. The more, you know, individualized you're doing your own business, the more robust it is, because nobody else can do it like you.
Yeah. Promoting that anti-fragility.
Yeah. So no one has to read that book.
Exactly. All right, next one up.
All right, where were we? Yes, this is, okay, what is your best tip for staying focused on writing when you'd rather be distracted?
So appropriate. So my best tip for staying focused on writing when you'd really rather be distracted is to get away. You need to get out of the space where the distraction is occurring, whether it's in your office, your house, wherever you're writing, wherever you're doing that work, something there in your environment that you may have trained up from other distractions. You may just be in that feeling where something that day has led you to be distracted and wanting to be distracted. Get out, get to a different spot, a different coffee shop, a different somewhere, right in your car if you have to, whatever. But if there is a distraction happening, sure, you could plug in headphones, you could try to listen to some binaural beats or something. I like brain.fm, but eventually that's going to wear out. It's going to wear off and that distraction is still going to be happening. Sometimes you just need to pull the cord. You need to get out of your current space.
Totally. Great advice.
It's hard to do when you're in a comfy space. I like my comfy space. But I have to get out sometimes. And thank you for the kind words. So, Claire, to finish us off, how do you celebrate writing milestones like finishing or publishing a book?
This is an easy one. I like to celebrate my writing milestones with going out to eat. I love it. I much prefer going out to eat to making myself food any day of the week. So yeah, I like to pick somewhere nice and take John with me and we go sit somewhere and I say, I finished my book today. And he goes, oh, I'm so proud of you. And then we eat. That's kind of it. It's just marking it with a nice meal.
I love that. I love that so much. And it's so nice that you get that validation from your partner. A lot of authors do not get that. I'm fortunate to get it from home myself, but a lot of people don't get it. And in those cases, it is okay to validate yourself a little bit. I've been listening to some great meditations about a little more self-validation and saying like, hey, I'm proud of you, me. And that's okay. Yes, it's woo-woo. But hey, you didn't come to this show because you thought you'd get no woo-woo.
True. And also, if you finished a book, if you're listening to this and you finished a book, I'm proud of you too, because that is hard.
Stole it from me. No. no, I think that it is really important that the people who are fellow authors will also share that pride in you, and you should soak that up. Claire, we need a question of the week.
Okay.
Okay. I feel like we talked today about the AI.
I feel like we've asked so many questions about AI.
No, we have to. We have to, because I really want to dive deeper into this. I know you're afraid of the firestorm, but we need to do what's scary, and we need to lean into the technology. I want to ask a question specifically about this as a AI curious or AI furious. Are you? Okay. How about just, are you AI curious or AI furious? That's it. And you can, and why?
Yes.
AI curious or AI furious? I'm proud of myself with that.
That was cute.
Thank you. You can answer the question of the week over at the Sell More Book Show After Party Facebook group or the Sell More Book Show website at sellmorebookshow.com. Remember, our YouTube channel growing every month by
every
at least
second of every
one
day.
Person. Claire, do you have anything you want to share before we head off?
I just encourage everyone to go check out my summer course offerings. These are 3-hour classes, so you get a lot of time with me. Go to ffs.media/classes and read all about it.
Love it. Love it. And I got nothing going on this week, but you know, every year, and I'm doing this in January again, every year, starting this year, I have been coaching authors who are at $2,500 or higher in royalties. This is a new program we've done, the Pathfinders. And oh man, this is like so my favorite thing. We've really become a great tight-knit group. And I just enjoy the heck out of it. And so if, you know, thinking about next year, if you're like, you know, I tried this coaching thing, but I want to do this coaching thing. I don't know how many people are doing a whole year program, but I've got one. And definitely if you're interested on being in the waiting list there, just email me and we can put you on the short list for applications, because it has just been so dang fun. And I really, really loved it.
Awesome. I'm glad you're doing that. That's a middle of the market sort of section that doesn't get a whole lot of attention.
Right. Absolutely. So cool. Well, Claire, great doing the show with you as always.
Mm-hmm. and also with you.
And also with you. So for Claire, I'm Brian. Have a great week of bookselling, everybody. We'll talk to you next week for episode 476. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Sell More Book Show. Visit the website at www.sellmorebookshow.com for detailed show notes and subscription information, or to send us news or comments for use on the show. Also, please take a moment to subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Thank you very much for listening, and happy bookselling.